Today on Real Radio.
When you talk to your neighbors or your friends or your family who don't know the Lord, and you tell them about God or what God's doing in your life, you're putting seeds out there.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series called, Why Should I? It's a collection of biblical lessons that explore what the Bible has to say about the lifestyle choices for the believer. When we hear the word evangelist, we often think about that gifted speaker in that big outdoor venue with a PA system, asking folks to come forward, to give their life to Jesus. The buses will wait, your friends will wait, and all that. And yet, you know, the pages of Scripture lay out a history of various believers from quite a variety of backgrounds who communicate the truth of God's Word in, well, a whole lot of different ways. So, are we all called to step up to the microphone, so to speak? Let's explore what the pages of Scripture have to say about the different ways we all can be used in the communication of the gospel. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with a lesson that takes a look at the question, why should I evangelize?
Why should we evangelize? And the funny thing about that is when I mention that, the temptation for you and I to tune out is real strong. Because you know what? We think that it doesn't apply to us. Oh, evangelism, to evangelize, that's for somebody else to do. I'm not an evangelist, you might say. I'm not a Greg Laurie, or I'm not a Billy Graham, or a Franklin Graham, or I'm not this or that. That's true, neither am I. But listen, the Bible makes it very clear that we are to do the work of the evangelist. It's very important. There is the gift of an evangelist mentioned in Scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. That is a gift given by God to certain individuals, and they are gifted at communicating the gospel in such a way that they have an effect by the power of God to lead people to Christ. That is a gift. But every Christian is called to do the work of the evangelist. And so this morning we want to ask the question in our note-taking, what does that mean or how does that apply to my life? If we're looking here at evangelism, and as the church is being prepared, as we are in this warehouse environment, God soon will allow us to be very public, how will we as ministers of the gospel evangelize? And how do we learn how to do that? Very, very important thing. Acts chapter 2, in our series teaching on this, our theme verses, Acts 2 verses 41 to 47 says, and those who gladly received his word were baptized. That's evangelism. Peter was preaching. And about that day, 3,000 souls were added to them. That's the result of evangelism. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then awe, reverence, or fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and they had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and in breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Here's another evangelistic verse. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Verse 41, verse 47, though the word evangelist or evangelism is not mentioned, the very act is. Peter preached, people got saved. Then it says the Lord added daily to the church those who were being saved. Well, one is obvious. Peter stood up and he preached, people were converted. They heard the message, it made sense to them, and they said, I need Jesus. But the latter end of that scripture, verse 47, tells us that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. How did that happen? Well, people didn't wake up one morning and say, I need God, without hearing the message. The Bible says, how will they ever hear? How will they ever know unless they are sent? And they must go. So there are senders regarding evangelism, and there are goers regarding evangelism. And in this church, as it has been since the day this home Bible study started, There are senders and there's goers. There are people who pull out a checkbook and write a check for an airplane ticket to make sure that person who's willing to go goes. It comes together as a team. There's senders, there's goers. It's a very wonderful thing. God has called us to reach the world. So we're all in this together. When you see Greg Laurie stand up in the stadiums and give the message, you know, he's just looking so cool and looking so Greg Laurie. What you don't know, because I've asked him before a crusade, are you nervous? Nervous, I'm biting my fingernails, I'm nervous, sick to my stomach, nervous. He gets up there, but God takes over. When you want to share Christ, have you ever been like that? You're all nervous, your mouth gets all dry, your heart begins to race. Jack, you're asking me to do the work of an evangelist? I can't even talk right when such a moment comes. Man, I know how that is. Are you so nervous? You get all... Why? It's a spiritual thing, man. If you could do it on your own talent, you wouldn't get nervous at all. You'd be so confident in pulling it off. If Greg or Franklin Graham or Billy Graham would walk up to a pulpit and say, I got it from here, God, thanks, I do this all the time, I can take it. Oh, man, watch them fall down. Because it has to be of God. So we're talking about this as a church. Why should we be involved in evangelism? Well, we're going to give several reasons why. Number one is this, because, frankly, we have been changed. I often ask you this, if you're visiting, you don't have to have any pressure this morning, but how many of you are Christians? Raise your hand. You know you're going to heaven. You know God's written your name down. You're going there. Listen, you're a Christian. You put your hand up. Great. You know what else we can say for those of us who just put our hand up? We can say that God's changed our lives. Now, some of you might say, well, just a little bit. Hey, just a little bit may be a big deal. I don't know about some of you, but I remember when I first accepted Jesus, there's some things that happen instantly. You know what I'm talking about? The moment you accept Christ. One thing is like cussing. Man, you accept Christ and whoop, it's gone. In fact, you hit your finger with the hammer and miss the nail. And it used to be in the days when you didn't know Jesus, you would shout out some expressive superlative of some nature. And God takes that stuff away. There's certain things that God takes away instantly, and then there's some things that God takes away in a lifetime. But you're growing. And some of you have known Jesus for a short period of time, and you could say, well, yeah, he's done this, that, and the other thing. And for some, you've known Jesus a long time. And you can attest to certain powers that God has worked in your life because he's working and it's real. It's not been a self-help program. It's not been some sort of think a happy thought and I'll be a nice kind of person. God's been doing it. Your life has been changed. And we hear a lot of news and a lot of stuff about having your life changed. And I'm kind of sensitive to that this week and putting this message together about life being changed. I have found out that your life can be changed, my life can be changed quite easily if I just have certain phone numbers nearby and I have my credit card. My life can be changed. For example, if you want your life changed apparently by Madison Avenue, I've learned this. If I buy an 8-pound Oreck upright hyperallergenic vacuum, my life will change. I will be a totally different person. I'll be healthy, I'll live longer, I'll be happier if I just buy that Oreck 8-pound hotel upright vacuum. I found that out this week. I also found out that if I buy any one of the 700 series BMWs right now that are on sale, I will be driving the ultimate driving machine and I'll feel better about myself. Are you feeling a little down today? Just go down to the BMW store and get yourself a 700 series. That'll change your life. They promised me on the TV it will change my life. Well, you know what? You want your life changed and do you not want to ever buy another workout machine again? Buy Bowflex, the only machine you'll need. And if you buy that machine, you won't need any more. And your life, they said, if you dial this 1-800 number, Bowflex me, your life will be changed. And then, as I heard this morning, that if I go to the Nordstrom spring sale, I will look my best. What is that? That's Madison Avenue hype. They're trying to convince me that there's something lacking in my life, that if I buy that thing and add it to the rest of the junk I bought, that my life will add up to something. Listen, it's funny. I'll live forever, if you pay close attention to what they're saying. You'll live forever, and you'll be really buffed, okay? And you'll look great in your new clothes all the time. They never wear out. You'll look your best. And, you know, you can vacuum your house looking so good and being dressed so nice. And you begin to get this complex of Madison Avenue that if I don't have those things, I'm a zero. I'm a nothing. If I can't afford that stuff, oh, listen, what am I going to become? That is where the world convinces you and I that we need what they're offering. Now, of course, their bottom line is profit. Their bottom line is getting your money. They have to get your attention first to get your money. And you might say, well, that's exactly what Christianity is all about, getting your attention. Madison Avenue hype. Now, I will agree with you. Many ministries tragically have adopted Madison Avenue tactics, but that's not what I'm talking about. I will tell you this, that the marketing world has probably done something with that void better and more effectively than the church has. And what I mean by that is this, God has created us to have fellowship with Him. And when we don't have fellowship with God, we have this void in our lives. And there's only one way to meet that void, and that is to be introduced and to experience a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That does not happen by you giving this church money. It does not happen by you signing up for children's ministry or parking lot or cleaning the church or prayer or whatever you might do. That does not bring that relationship about. Those things come out of that relationship. But the truth of the matter is to completely and absolutely fill the void that you and I have as human beings looking for satisfaction, it's only through Jesus Christ. That's why the man who buys the Beamer has got to buy the new Beamer next time. Or the guy that's got the vacuum's got to buy the new and latest greatest vacuum. Or why you and I feel better if we go buy this new outfit. Why? We're looking for something to give us value, to add some worth. And there's nothing wrong with those things. It's okay to have those things. But if you and I are having all of those things and we don't have Jesus, we are looking really good, going really fast to a place you don't want to be. Because without Jesus, it's hell. And you don't want to go there. And God doesn't want you to go there. That's why Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the entire world and loses his own soul?" So that's a very important thing. Our lives have been changed. How so? Three ways. Number one, our mind is changed. The moment you and I accepted Christ, our minds were changed. We began to think different. So as a church, when we evangelize, or when I say we talk to our neighbor about God, you are dropping seeds, kind of like a sower who's out sowing seeds. When you talk to your neighbors or your friends or your family who don't know the Lord, and you tell them about God or what God's doing in your life, you're putting seeds out there. Now, theologically, I would say you're evangelizing, but you don't want to hear that word because it scares you. But that's exactly what you're doing. Have you ever said to somebody, "Man, God's good"? Or has it ever slipped out in public where there's non-believers around? Praise the Lord. Well, I mean, you're dropping seeds. You say, "Wait, Pastor, I want to argue with you on that. Don't I have to give the four spiritual laws and know all this about that and the other thing?" No. Not at all. The Bible tells us regarding our lives being changed, by the way, that people heard the gospel, they believed in it, they were changed. You know, people can be changed overnight. There can be a phone call that comes into the church and someone's got a pistol to their head. They've lost their job. Their wife just left them. Their kids can't stand them. They've got nothing but bills stacking up, so they put a gun to their head. What do you do with somebody like that? You throw them some new kids and a new wife? It's not going to fix it. You know what fixes it? Instantly over the phone. All right, just stop for a minute. But seriously, before you blow your brains out, give me 10 minutes. That's how you got to talk to somebody who's about ready to do themselves in. Before you do it, give me 10 minutes. Okay. Don't you understand? Maybe you need to hear that Jesus Christ is with you right now. He wants you to open your heart to Him. This whole situation has been engineered by God so that you would call out in this desperation. You happen to have dialed this phone number. We're talking right now. And listen, buddy, I will not take that as a coincidence. It is of God, and you need to hear this. God loves you. He died on the cross for you. You've come to the end of your rope, but I want to tell you, God's got a brand new beginning for your life. If you will just right now believe that Jesus died on the cross for you, rose again from the dead, and that He loves you. You need Him. What causes a man to put the gun down? A change of mind. Now, your conversion may not have been that drastic in that moment. But all of us this morning who raises our hands to say, yes, I know Jesus, we have been converted, and it begins with a mind. God wants you to think. He wants you to use your head. Christians are to never check their brains in at the door as they come into the building. Clear your head and think more critically when you come into a church setting. Know history. Get involved in what God has written. Know what you believe in. And the more you do that, the more faith you have, the stronger you develop in your Christian experience. And all that's true because when we accepted Christ, our minds were changed. The word in Greek is metanoia. We call it the word repentance. It's to have a change of mind. And it happens in an instant. Not only that, when our lives are changed, our mind is changed, but our heart. That's the second thing that happens when there's a change in our lives. All of our hearts have been changed. We used to have different kind of hearts. Our hearts lived and pursued certain things. We lived for certain affections. We'll call it that way. But when we accepted Christ, there was an awakening that happened in our hearts. Well, the Bible says we were given new ones. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 tells us God gave us a new heart. The moment of conversion. So you see, this very clinical word, why should we evangelize? We can soften it down, maybe to go down easier for us here. It's sharing, telling others. You say, well, I don't know if I can do that. Yeah, you can. With God, you can. Aren't we funny? We can tell people about all kinds of stuff. Total strangers. We can tell them, oh, you know what? Oh, you don't want to buy one of those. You want to buy one of these. This one will break. That one's a piece of junk. You'll be in line. Someone will, oh, I think I'll get this. You don't want to buy that. It's garbage. Buy this one instead. I mean, is that how you are? I don't know about you, but that's, you know, why not? Somebody, you know, I want that. Oh, you know what? Go ahead. But mine broke last week. Maybe yours is better. I'll just tell them. And it's a fun thing. You say, well, you're really outgoing. I haven't always been outgoing. I'll tell you that, and I'll tell you that more in a minute. But you know what? I don't care anymore. Because you know what? What people think about me, it's usually wrong anyway. So what am I trying to do? Run around and you know, influence people and have friends kind of a thing? It just doesn't work. Just live for the Lord. You know what? It'd be fine. And tell them. You don't have to walk up and say, hey, mister, listen, my life's changed. The guy will call the cops, and he probably should if you do it that way. But when the opportunity is right. By the way, you ask the Lord, Lord, I'd like to tell somebody. Tomorrow's Monday. It's a whole new week. I want to tell somebody about you. If you ask God to do that, you better hang on to your seat. Because you know what God's going to do? Some guy's going to walk up and say, I need a change in my life. Ding, ding, ding. Open door. Hello. It's true. You don't think it's true. Try it. Watch what happens. God, use me today. Watch what happens. It's amazing. But see, the thing is, at one point, at some time in our lives, someone shared Jesus with us, and we responded, and our lives were changed forever. Here's what I fear. And this is one of the dangers of a larger church. We get churchized or Christianized. I'm saved. Family saved. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Okay, we're saved. And we're saved here. What do we care? As long as we're going to heaven, everybody else, you know, they can go wherever. Watch out. Aren't you glad that the person who shared Jesus with you didn't have that attitude? Hey, you look like a wretch of a person. I'm saved. You're not. See ya. Man, somebody shared with us. Maybe it was over the radio. Maybe it was through a friend. By the way, most people who come to Christ do not come to Christ in crusades. Did you know that? It's personal evangelism. Someone sharing over a cup of coffee what Jesus Christ has meant to them. Talking about the reality of God with conviction. Changed lives. He's changed our mind. He's changed our hearts. And absolutely, He's changed our life. He's changed our life. Greatest example, I believe, to the unbelieving world out there, the secular world, because I've seen documentaries on this on the Learning Channel and on the History Channel, is the life that was changed by a guy by the name of Saul of Tarsus. His name, well, you know him as the Apostle Paul. Not too long ago, the History Channel did a special on his life. And that they have concluded that outside of Jesus Christ, Paul the Apostle has affected the world more than any other person that has ever lived. The cool thing about that is, what was Paul doing before his life was converted? He was killing Christians. Isn't that funny? I mean, it's not funny. I mean, isn't that odd? It's peculiar. Acts chapter 9 talks about how Paul met up with Jesus Christ. So the two most influential people on the planet is Jesus and Paul. And they preach the same message. I've heard this week on the news that there's been a few women that have expressed carefully the hope of freedom in Iraq, in Baghdad. Because you see, their problem is they're women. And they're not allowed to have any freedom. And so the regime is changing. And apparently, maybe, some beliefs may change soon. And some women are excited about freedom. You say, well, Pastor, what are you suggesting? Only this. Get out your history books and find out wherever Christianity has gone, ask the women if they like it. I like to say that sarcastically even. Ask the women if they like Christianity. Because when they open up the Bible, they find out that God views a man and a woman equally as one. That one has no greater rights over the other, but they're all the same in Christ. That God loves women. That God has a plan. God uses them in ministry and He uses them in life. And there are people in certain parts of the world that are starting to hear that they don't have to be instruments of burden or bearing, but God loves them. You and I, we have grown so content and almost callous because God has changed our lives.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called, Why Should I Evangelize? It's a look at what Scripture has to say about sharing with others the truth of God's Word. Why Should I Evangelize? Part of Pastor Jack's series of lessons simply called, Why Should I? Which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, you may have heard us talk about this, well, incredible book called Turnaround at Home. It truly offers valuable insight into breaking what we might call generational patterns. We often make that vow to ourselves that we're not going to repeat the mistakes of our parents, and yet, well, we somehow still do. And that's precisely what this book is all about. Turnaround at Home can be purchased online at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.